The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. The silver and gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The God of the Bible also says, who has a claim that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to me. These Bible verses remind us that God owns everything. Is that a difficult truth for you to embrace? Is your favorite word mine? Do you possess an ownership or stewardship worldview when it comes to money? All of life is a sacred trust, including the time, talent, and treasure God has given to you. Even your life is not your own. That means every financial decision is also a spiritual decision. I'm Ron Jones. Something good starts right now.
Did you know that the Bible talks more about money than it talks about prayer or about faith? It's true. Hello and welcome to Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Crossway Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. I'm Brian Davis. Thanks for stopping by. Well, there's a reason why God spends so much time talking to us about the way we view and use money. Today, Ron takes a deep dive into this subject as he continues his teaching series, I Resolve. Stay with us or come see us at somethinggoodradio.org, where you can listen to any of Ron's messages on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Subscribe to the podcast at Spotify or wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Now, here's Ron with today's Something Good Radio message, Resolving the Stewardship of Your Treasure.
The Bible has a lot to say about money, more than you could possibly even imagine. Somebody once counted up 2,000 words, or rather verses in the Bible that talk about money, wealth, and material possessions. That's a lot of editorial space in the Bible. Compare it to 500 verses on prayer, 500 verses on faith, and you get some sense of how much, you know, God has told us about this subject. Primarily because he understands, as only he can understand, how money can threaten the lordship of Jesus Christ in our life. Money can easily become a god, and he said, let no other gods come before me. Money and materialism and the consumerism of our day can draw us in and, you know, reorder our priorities. And so the Bible has a lot to say about it. I want to begin with a couple of places in the scriptures that help us begin to think about resolving the stewardship of our treasure. Let's begin in Psalm chapter 24 and verse 1, kind of an all-encompassing verse when we think about this thing called stewardship or the sacred trust that is life, even as it's broken into our time, our talent, and our treasure. Psalm 24 and verse 1, let's read it together. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Pretty all-encompassing, isn't it? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. It's all his. He created it. He has the title deed to it. The world and all who live in it. We go from everything to every who in Whoville, I like to say. It all belongs to him. That's why we said in week one, I resolve to view my life as a steward and not an owner, all right? That's a difficult transition to make from ownership. You know, what's mine is mine to stewardship. No, what's mine is God's. He owns it all. If you have any doubts about it, listen to the Lord himself in Haggai chapter 2 and verse 8. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. Mine, 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 mine. We have troubles with that word, don't we? What's mine is mine. No, the Lord says the silver is mine and the gold is mine. It all belongs to me. He owns the title deed to all of it. Kind of reminds me of the toddler's creed. Have you ever heard this? If I want it, it's mine. If I give it to you and change my mind later, it's mine. If I can take it away from you, it's mine. If it's mine, it will never belong to anybody else, no matter what. If we are building something together, all the pieces are mine. If it looks just like mine, it's mine. If it breaks or needs putting away, it's yours. That sounds just like a toddler, doesn't it? The problem is we grow up as adults and we have a toddler's mentality when it comes to money and possessions and things. One of three worldviews can really capture our heart. One that says, what's mine is mine and I'm going to keep it. And we make all we can and we can all we get and we sit on the lid. Another one says, what's yours is mine and I'm going to take it. You know, that could be a thief, somebody who's real competitive in business, could be a socialist or a communist who says, no, all this belongs to the state. Or you say, what's mine is God's and I'm going to share it. Or let me bring it into your marriage relationship. What's ours is God's and we're going to share it. Catherine and I have talked for years encouraging couples, young couples, middle-aged, older couples to become what we call financial soulmates, all right? The Bible talks about being one flesh. How about one financially? We talk about that because what we've discovered in the marriage relationship is the greatest point of stress in marriage is money and finances. And you might have one who's come to that that reasoned conclusion that what's ours is God's and we're going to share it. And the other one says, no, what's mine is mine. What's ours is ours and we're going to keep it. And there's stress, there's tension in the marriage relationship over finances. Jesus had a lot to say about money. He said more about money than he did heaven and hell combined. You can study the Gospels and add up and calculate the editorial space. Even in his parables, there are 38 short stories in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And 16 of them, count them, 16 of them have a money or stewardship theme to them. Why? Because he knew better than anybody, looking into the human heart, that money has a way of crowding out the lordship of Jesus Christ in a person's life. One of those parables or short stories that he told is found in Luke chapter 16. We're not going to take the time to look at the totality of this, but it begins this way. It's called the parable of the shrewd manager. And it says, Jesus also said to his disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager or a steward, we might say, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be a manager. Sobering day in this money manager's life. He was managing the finances and the resources for somebody else who had gone away, and he was wasting, he was squandering the wealth. Of course, in the story here, God is the rich man, and he's gone away. He's entrusted us with the management of his resources. At best, friends, come on now, we are God's money managers. We are his money and property managers. He has entrusted the stewardship of the earth to us. And you have a little bit of that to manage. I have a little bit of that to manage. One day he's coming back and we will be held to account. There will be an accounting. Will we hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord? Or will we hear something more terse and hard as this wasteful manager did? Read the totality of the story sometime when you have a time to read it on your own. This is why we're resolving. We're making a definite and earnest decision about something. That's what the word resolve means, to make a definite, earnest decision. And we've tried to make that definite and earnest decision about our time and about our talents and the spiritual gifts that God has entrusted to us. Now it's the sacred trust of things and money, those things that pass through our hands. And we want to say together, I resolve to be a faithful steward of the treasure that God has given to me. However much or however little he has entrusted to you, resolve to be a faithful steward of that. Now, one other place that I want us to go is Matthew chapter 6. Right smack in the middle of a section of Scripture known as the Sermon on the Mount. You ever heard of the Sermon on the Mount? It's probably one of Jesus' most famous sermons or collection of sermons. And he is talking about kingdom living. He's talking about how citizens of the kingdom of God would live. And then this runs so contrary to the world and to our culture. But it shouldn't surprise us as he scans through a number of different topics and subjects. He lands upon the subject of money in chapter 6, beginning in verse 19. Follow along as I read these words. Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Let's just stop right there. A couple, two or three, maybe four principles I want to draw from these verses and all the way through verse 24. The first is the idea that giving is an investment in eternity. You see that? Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth." Why? It's not the safe and secure place to invest. Thieves will break in and steal. Moth and rust will corrupt. We might update it and say, even the identity thieves will break in and steal your bank account. Or you'll experience wide and crazy fluctuations in the market. You'll try to buy high or buy low and sell high, but you end up buying high and selling low. And, it's just not a safe place to do that. Imagine Jesus, as a talking head on the financial news network, and somebody asks him, "So Jesus, what's your investment advice for the coming year?" And he says, "Pull everything out of earth and put it into heaven." That's kind of what he says here. Pretty radical thought. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And circle the words "for yourselves." I call this sanctified self-interest. Jesus doesn't want something from us. He wants something for us. And he's giving us the best investment advice we can ever get. Invest in eternity, invest in heaven. I always say you need at least two portfolios in life. You need an earthly portfolio and you need a heavenly portfolio. Now, the fact of the matter is, according to recent statistics, and you've probably heard this, 78% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. That's up from several years ago when the Wall Street Journal said 70% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. Now it's 78% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. Are you kidding me? First of all, you need an earthly portfolio, and it starts with an emergency fund, so that you're prepared whether there's a shutdown or a breakdown somewhere in your family life, and you can endure that time. And you need to plan for the future, savings and investments and all of that. Only 12% of Americans can endure a government shutdown or a breakdown of the washer, the dryer, the car, because they don't even have $500 in the bank. That's where we are as a nation. That's where we are sometimes as a church too, because we haven't put our finances in proper biblical order. You need an earthly portfolio, but you need a heavenly portfolio as well. Again, Jesus says, invest in eternity.
Don't go away. We're only about halfway through today's message with Dr. Ron Jones. Today's teaching is part of Ron's series, I Resolve. Look for it online at somethinggoodradio.org. Ron joins me to talk about his latest book, The Jesus Way to Pray. Ron, we continue to hear great things about your book, The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. Tell us, why did you feel like it was something you needed to write?
Thanks for the question, Brian. I think all of us, no matter how long we've been following Jesus, can use some help with our prayer life. I know I can, and I'm supposed to be a professional at this, right? Fortunately, the model prayer Jesus gave his disciples is recorded for us in the pages of Scripture and preserved for nearly 2,000 years. It's known worldwide as the Lord's Prayer. I call it the Jesus Way to Pray.
Ron, one of the things you talk about in your teaching series, The Jesus Way to Pray, is that Jesus taught us to pray with priority. Talk for a minute about what that means.
Well, Brian, to say, "Lord, teach us to pray," as Jesus' disciples did, is kind of like asking Michael Jordan or LeBron James to teach us how to play the game of basketball, or Leonardo da Vinci to teach us how to paint a masterpiece like The Last Supper, or the Mona Lisa, or Michelangelo to teach us how to sculpt a marble stone into David or the Pietà. Truly, nobody is in a better position to teach us how to pray than Jesus.
And so many of us are glad you did, Pastor. Again, that book is called The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. Order your copy for a donation of $25 or more. Share it with a friend by requesting a 2-pack for $50, a 4-pack for $75, or an 8-pack for $150 or more. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or by phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099 or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456. The world is filled with experts who can help us put together a solid financial portfolio. But the best investment advice you'll ever get is found in the Word of God. Here's Dr. Ron Jones and the rest of today's Something Good radio message, resolving the stewardship of your treasure.
We invest in our earthly portfolio for the purpose of getting income, but when we invest in eternity and in heaven, it's for outcome, right? We invest in our earthly portfolio by buying and selling. You buy low, you sell high. You invest in your heavenly portfolio by sowing and reaping, all right? Totally different kind of thing. And Jesus just says, the best place to invest, where if I could paraphrase, the dividend reinvestment program is literally out of this world, friends. You have no idea how the Lord's going to compound the value of what you invest in eternity. Giving is an investment in eternity. Secondly, giving moves my heart closer to God. Do you see this in verse 21? Jesus says, for where your treasure is, we're talking about resolving the stewardship of our treasure. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I say it this way, a peek inside your checkbook is a glimpse inside your heart. You can say all day long that Jesus is number one in your life, but if he's last in your budget, you're living a lie. And Jesus was really trying to get to the heart of the matter here, wasn't he? He's going right for the jugular. He's going right for the heart because he's not looking for donors. Okay, don't misunderstand this. God doesn't need your money. It's not yours and mine to begin with. There's a lot of money that's tainted out there. It ain't yours and it ain't mine, all right? It all belongs to God. And once we understand that, Jesus goes after the wallet and the finances and all that because it's a heart matter. It's a matter of the heart, where your treasure is. And you can look inside your financial life as much as I can. It'll be like a mirror reflecting back your priorities and who or what is number one in your life. It's a matter of the heart. Number three, giving clarifies my vision. Now, let's read on. Matthew 6, now verse 22, Jesus goes on to say, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? It sounds kind of confusing. First time I read that, I said, this really doesn't fit into the flow of the teaching here. Jesus is clearly talking about money in 19 through 21. He clearly talks about it in verse 24. What's this 22 and 23 about the eye and the lamp of the body and all that? It didn't open up to me until I understood a little bit about Hebrew idioms and the rabbinic traditions. In rabbinic tradition, a bad eye person was a stingy person. A good eye person was a generous person. And so read that back in. The eye is the lamp of the body. We can tell everything about what's really going on inside of you by whether you're a good eye or a bad eye person. So if your eye is healthy or good, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is bad, if you're a stingy person, a Scroogey kind of person, your whole body will be full of darkness. It's pretty telling, isn't it? Are you a good eye or a bad eye person? You know, are you stingy? Stingy people often have what I call a scarcity mentality. They're the ones always saying, we ain't never got enough money around here. Generous people, generous good-eye people have vision, and they have an abundance mentality. Why? Because they know God owns everything. And He never has a scarcity problem. And He's promised to supply all of our needs. You don't ever have to worry that we're not going to have enough when you walk by faith and you trust God with your finances. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of faith. And then fourthly, giving focuses my priorities. Look at how Jesus says it in verse 24. I mean, He just holds nothing back here. He says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Now, in some of your translations, the word money might be capitalized. If you have a King James translation of the Bible, he says, it's translated this way, "You cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon. Mammon is an old word that speaks of the false god of riches and avarice, was the idea with mammon. John Milton, in his book Paradise Lost, he personifies with his creative pen the devil and his demons. Maybe you read it in one of your English classes, Paradise Lost. And he names one of the diabolic creatures, you might have guessed it, mammon. And he describes mammon as the least erected of the fallen angels. He walks hunched over with his eyes cast downward as he looks to the ground for lost treasures. And you can just picture mammon just kind of, you know, going along the ground here, and he's just looking, he's greedy, he's always hungry for gold and money. And Milton's depiction of mammon reminds us of just how easy it is for mammon and for money to become our god. And Jesus just says, listen, you can't serve God and money. You can't be full of consumerism and materialism, trying to keep up with the Joneses or the Smiths and the Browns. You know, living on 110% of what you made because, you know, you're just leveraged up to your eyeballs because you're just trying to keep up. You're trying to keep up and fill that emptiness in your soul with things and the things that money can buy. There's not enough room in the human heart for that and for Jesus. And that's why Jesus was so ruthless when it came to money. He once told a rich young ruler who said, "Hey, Jesus, I want to come follow you." Jesus, as only he could do, could peer into that man's heart. And he says, "Fine, you want to follow me? Here's what you need to do. You need to sell everything, give it to the poor, and come follow me."
Thanks for being here with us for Ron's message, Resolving the Stewardship of Your Treasure. If you missed part of today's teaching, or if you'd like to hear it again, visit somethinggoodradio.org to listen on demand. That's somethinggoodradio.org. While you're there, use the Courses tab at the top of the homepage and check out Starting Point, A Disciple's First Steps. Not only is this a great refresher course in what it means to be a disciple of Christ, it will also show you how to help new believers grow in their faith. That's Starting Point, A Disciple's First Steps.
There's no command under the New Covenant and in the New Testament that says, "Thou shalt tithe." We are not under law, we're under grace. But grace, if grace is the motivation for our response, if God's grace, His generosity toward us, this God who so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, what is our response to that? 2%? Really? You're telling me that's acceptable? Okay, don't put a number on it. Don't put an apportionment on it. If you feel guilty or legalistic about 10%, give 11, 12, 15%. I mean, go the other direction. Come on. And let's show that as redeemed people of God, He's redeemed us even from the materialism and the consumerism of our day.
That's next time in part two of Dr. Ron Jones' message, Resolving the Stewardship of Your Treasure. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis. God bless, and thanks for listening.